is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Today, another candidate interview. State Representative Cedric Hayden, representing parts of Douglas County, parts of Lane County as well. And one of the more geographically interesting districts in the state. Representative Hayden joins us from literally a ridgetop. Talk about what you've been doing.
Well, Kyle, thanks for the opportunity here. I am in Northern California. I'm currently standing on top of a stump where I get a couple of bars on top of a hill, on top of a ridge, to be able to connect with you. But as folks know, in the summer, my crews and I work with wildfire. We got a late season in Oregon and other parts. I've had some crews in Oregon, Utah, and I'm in Northern California. We're still working down here, and things are starting to slow down and wrap up, so I'm looking forward to getting home.
We're going to talk a little bit more about this work that you do regarding wildfires and equipment in a later part of the interview. For people that are newer to the area, and we keep hearing about folks moving in from California at the moment, a lot of people coming into Douglas County right now, who may not be familiar with you. Talk about your background, your education, your career, what led you to ultimately getting involved in the legislature.
Yeah, sure. So when I was in high school, growing up from a child, my dad was a missionary or a volunteer public health person that provided healthcare service, oral healthcare. He's a dentist around the world. And so I was born into a family, six children, that they were already in the process of doing that. When I came along, my father was in the Navy and he had been stationed in San Diego, but they were in Trinidad at the time. My next older brother was born actually in Trinidad, and then I was the next child to come along. And so they went back to the U.S. Just because the healthcare was a little better, and they didn't want to risk that twice out of the states. And so my family has been in Oregon for a long time, even though I wasn't actually born in Oregon myself. I come from a seventh-generation Oregonian family, and I was just born out of Oregon because we were, you know, on a trip at the time, and they flew back to the states, back where his stomping grounds were in near San Diego. And came on a covered wagon, Belshaw wagon train, back in 1856, I think, although I don't have that date memorized, and have been kind of part of the Oregon landscape. The last name Hayden, you'll see it pop up here and there in other places around the state, been kind of part of the landscape. Well, fast forward, I ended up following my dad's footsteps, like what he did with his career. Love to travel, probably got that bug from the way that we grew up. We would spend about 6 months in stateside and 6 months doing public health around the world. And my dad, when I was in high school, my dad ran for the state legislature. And so I got a lot of shoe leather worn out, knocking on doors, doing door to door. And so I had a lot of experience with that side of the campaigning. Didn't have any real experience with the legislative side of the campaigning. He did that for 16 years and then retired from dentistry. My brothers and I set up a dental organization that was the first statewide network, meaning that we provided health care services to all the counties except Tillamook County. We never did get into that county. Provided oral health in all the counties across Oregon. Our model was pretty simple. We kind of looked at, and I read some books and looked at how Les Schwab set up their organization, and we looked at that and said, well, you know, people, tires, and teeth, right? And so we started in small rural Oregon, putting clinics in and hiring dentists, and that ended up being a successful venture that led us into being one of the organizers with the Oregon Health Plan and trying to get access. Like I saw my dad in these foreign countries, people lined up for, you know, blocks just to get a free oral health checkup or cleaning or extraction, get them out of pain. Well, when that started in Oregon, it was the same thing. It was really reminiscent of what I had seen as a child. We opened our doors in Lane County when the Oregon Health Plan first started, and people would line up, fill up the parking lot, and I just, you know, there's got to be a better system to this. There's got to be a better way to deliver this health care. And so through that process, as I was kind of getting on the end of my corporate dental career, I decided to set up free dental health clinics throughout the state of Oregon in mobile dental clinics, and ran into, you know, just red tape, bunch of red tape. Well, you can't do that. Well, you know, a lot of these towns that I currently represent, depressed economies, logging towns, things that have been taken away from them, no fault of their own. Just the jobs aren't there, and the healthcare is hard to get. And so after applying several times, three times on appeal in a couple of different locations, couldn't provide the healthcare that I wanted to do as part of our nonprofit that my wife and I and my brother founded. And so me, being very naive about politics, thought I'd just go directly to the source, and signed up to run for the state legislature. Signed up in 2013 for the 2014 legislative session. Worked really hard. Really appreciate all the folks in Douglas and Lane County that supported that effort and was able to win that. And I kind of went on a limited focus of getting you know, charitable health care where possible to folks that needed it, and ran a bill that allowed us to do that, nonprofits to go into pretty much anywhere in this.
And we've lost Representative Hayden for a moment. Let's see if we get him back. There we go.
There. Okay, sorry. Another call there. Guess it interrupted. Anyway, so I was able to go to the state legislature. My focus that first year was in healthcare, and had the honor from Speaker Kotek after an interview to be placed as vice chair of that committee for the Republicans, and got a law passed that allowed us to stay at these locations to provide oral health clinics throughout the state. And we have done that very routinely. A lot of Fridays I do that. Until COVID came along, and so that's been shut down a little bit. We're doing a few clinics here and there, very, very sparsely populated clinics, and following all the protocols and everything that we have in oral health. So we're starting to ramp that back up. But that was the reason I went to the legislature, and then once I got involved in the healthcare decision-making policy that ends up leaving, you know, dozens of people standing on the street, I thought, okay, we've got to find a better way to do that. So that's been my focus, is getting access to healthcare in rural parts of the state, and trying to get more allied health folks in the system. Would love to be able to get allied health training institution in Douglas County. We're working on that. And so there's just the job never ends. You know, people say they get in the politics, and I still got more to do, and there's just no end to it. But I would like the honor of going back and being elected that today. And I continue as the vice chair of healthcare, I'm vice chair of mental health and behavioral health now, because that's one of my focuses. Once I've gotten to the legislature, mental health, I feel, is the last frontier that we really haven't coordinated and tackled in Oregon. And with COVID, that has just been exasperated. And hopefully we can make some changes with that.
With those things that you feel like you've been able to do, what's been your biggest frustration during your time in Salem?
Really, my biggest frustration is the way it's set up, the process that it's set up. So, you know, as you know, we're under super majorities, but that doesn't mean that one side of the aisle doesn't have a good idea. And the way the system's set up is one person on the House and one person on the chair picks all the Senate, picks all the chairs for the committees. And then people come to me and say, hey, I've got this idea about, you know, I want to do this, want to do that. We work with them, and we get a legislative concept in, which then gets dropped into a bill. And we present that to the chairs of the committee, And they have 100% control whether that even gets hurt. And I'm not talking about, you know, we want to guarantee that this passes, but we would like the opportunity to have some of these priority bills that we have just discussed in a panel and let us present our case. And so the frustration that I found is, even if you have a good case, you have no guarantee under our system that you can present your case. And so I would like to see a way that the legislature, the political process, kind of dials back the partisan bickering or the partisan control on letting the public hear the case, meaning letting the people come testify. I like that idea. I want that. And we don't have that. We have a one-sided system. And, you know, when Republicans were in charge, it was one-sided that way. When Democrats are in charge now, it's one-sided that way. So I'd like to see some sort of system to where the people can get their voice heard if they're not on the side of the aisle that has control.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. State Representative Cedric Hayden. A candidate interview, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1, Northwest Wine Radio, part of KQEN Local Talk, coming up at 4. On tomorrow's program, Jeff Goodwin, the Republican candidate for state treasurer, will be on Inside Douglas County. We'll be talking to the incumbent, Tobias Reed, early next week on the program. State Representative Cedric Hayden with us down in California right now. We'll talk more about why he's down there in a moment. What's it been like this year during COVID-19 in terms of being a legislator and all the stresses on the state budget?
Well, you know, it's a big issue. I was, even though I'm up on the Hill, this is one of my 2 days off every 14 days, and I'm just hanging around here. But I was on the State of the Health Reform virtual conference this morning, and that was a big topic that we discussed, and we're talking about how do we deal with COVID. Because if you look at COVID and you look at how your life has changed now because of COVID, it's pretty much that has some COVID aspect to it in your work or your home, your social life. There's COVID has affected all of that. And so what that effect has done is it has really downturned our economy, obviously, with jobs out there and businesses that are able to survive. And our economy is what funds our state budgets. And so we're going to see a really big drop in 2021, I believe. You know, there's been numbers floated around between $3 and $5 billion. And the longer this goes, the bigger that number is going to get. And so we're going to have to take a serious look at, you know, how do we deal with the aspects of COVID? We were talking about, you know, the CCO have proposed some rate cuts coming up, but then they want all of the healthcare providers to be there to provide the access. Yet 31,000 healthcare providers have been put on furlough over this. And so how are you going to balance that budget? I think nobody really has the answer to that now, but we're going to have to take some hard look at some of the programs and still, you know, focus on our core duties as a government to, you know, provide our education and provide our health care and provide our public safety. And some of the other things that may want to be accomplished are going to have to take a back seat for a while we just kind of maintain those core services for a while. So that's how I am looking at approaching it. Try and hold harmless as best as you can your health care and your public safety and your education, but then dial back some of these other programs that are aspirational that we would like to do into the future.
What are you looking forward to in the next session of the legislature?
So, you know, we're always working on some oral health stuff. I would like to take the opportunity with telemedicine to drive, oral health. telehealth is a good example of telemedicine. Like I can diagnose x-rays, I can talk to somebody, I can look at them, but I can't feel their lymph nodes. I can't really do a cancer screening. I can't do a filling. So there's limitations to some aspects of physical health. With mental health, same thing, but I think there's an opportunity with mental and behavioral health to ramp up telemedicine and really drive down into the communities to have, you know, a place where people can go and get that mental health, get that specialist that they would have to otherwise drive a long ways to. So I think there's going to be a big focus on telemedicine coming up in the legislature. And then, you know, on the other side of things, there's some things that we need to do with the commercial activities tax, the tax cat, the cat tax and things like that, that hopefully we can roll back some of that to make it to where these small businesses can survive.
Talk about you're down in California with the wildfires. Dentistry, being a lawmaker, how did you end up adding heavy equipment and fires to your plethora of things that you're involved in?
Well, it was kind of just a sequence of events when my brothers and I decided to put together this network, and the goal was to be able to provide oral health services to low-income people across the state. Well, at the time, and this was even started before the Oregon Health Plan came along, if you go back to, you know, what they would consider welfare, these services weren't reimbursed to even close to the provider's cost. And so we looked at that and said, well, we want to do this. It's kind of what our dad did around the world. We want to do it in Oregon. But how do we pay for that if every time I provide that service, it costs my business, you know, 50 cents on the dollar to provide it? We're losing 50%, you know, for the dollar. If it costs a dollar and we get reimbursed 30 or 40 cents for the state, and then we've got to make the other up to the business. So we decided to make a business model that was giving that service to folks, or providing that service to folks, and then having 50% private services for, you know, just your private insurance, that we would work on fee-for-service, where there's, you know, typically about a 25% profit margin built in that. So if we did enough of that profit, we could cost shift that over to the welfare recipients and cover that cost of that. Well, in order to do that, we had to have a network of buildings. So my brothers and I have always had a construction company that would go in and buy the dirt, build the building, set up the infrastructure, the real estate, and you know, dentistry is a great career, but that period of time, real estate was, you know, I guess what we would call our success. Because when I was able to find an exit strategy in that in 2009, it was the buildings, it was the brick and mortar that was something that gave me the opportunity to then take those receipts or those funds to go into providing healthcare locally. And we also have three clinics set up around the world, Federated States of Micronesia, Madagascar, and Zambia, that we have full-time employees that we finance and keep those clinics going. So, you know, that's just kind of how it's gone. And so it was the construction part that when in 2009, my brother and I split things up and just went to our private practices, like you had went into private practice. My brother wasn't interested in construction, so I took that and I turned it into a heavy equipment company, and have been, you know, first we were building roads, and now we've transitioned into logging and wildfire.
Wow. About a minute left on the program. For people that have gotten their ballots in the past few days in your district, kind of give folks a minute about why they should vote for you again.
Well, I work hard. And the legislature, everybody thinks about it as a part-time job, and we do other things. It is a citizen legislature. We are expected to be able to provide for our families outside of the salaries that we receive through the state legislature. But I mean, even on this call, you hear a couple of beeping in. These are, our phones are always ringing. We're always working hard. And my concentration that I do with my staff, and I can't do this without great staff, is there's one aspect that's kind of in this bubble of the state legislature happening, but we concentrate on our constituents. If our constituents call and need something, that is something that we work on, we make a priority, and we try and connect them with the agencies or the people that can help them. So that's why they should vote for me, because I'm working hard for them.
State Representative Cedric Hayden, a candidate interview. Thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you, sir.
1258 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.